So let me start by saying that with my statement and that public press release, I have taken quite a bit of citizen comment and conversation, and I'm listening to my public, I'm listening to my constituents. And so the vast majority is very supportive of the statement that I released and believe and feel a lot the way that I do. However, there are some people that I've spoken with that said, hey, we need to have a conversation, and it sounds like you're against that. And so this gives me a good opportunity to tell you, I'm not against having a conversation about the things that help improve public safety. But this letter, the reason I felt so obligated to take the stance that I did publicly is this letter starts the conversation about the wrong ideas. And this letter starts the conversation going in the wrong direction. And so I'm not here to say anything negative about my council or the mayor in any way, and I respect their opinions. I respect their viewpoints on every subject, including this one. But for anybody to have a productive conversation about public safety, we've got to understand that no one has ever improved safety through surrender. And when you promote red flag laws, that is what you're promoting, a portion and a partial surrender of your Second Amendment right and some of your Fourth and Fifth Amendments. In saying that, we've got to tailor this conversation in the right direction to be able to even discuss this in the right way. We cannot have a debate over whether or not we put our Second Amendment up for a vote. The Bill of Rights is not up for a vote. And I think that's what my statement clarified. And I'm all for having good conversations about public safety and how we can improve a show of force, a police presence, armed security guard on schools and different soft targets.
Yeah, absolutely. I would go a step further and say we've got to have firearms on some personnel on those school campuses, period. That's my opinion, because just one officer, too easy to be on the other side of the campus or whatever. But I get it. That's a part of the conversation. How concerned are you in these conversations about the slippery slope? I think that's where many of us come from. As an example, raising the age to buy an assault weapon to 21. I'm like, okay, as a staunch defender of the Constitution, as you are, and our rights, all of them, including the Second Amendment, I say, okay, well, we can have that discussion. So let me get this straight, though, just so I know where we're going. An 18-year-old is old enough to serve in the U.S. military, but not old enough to have an AR-15. That is not a military-style rifle, by the way. It is not a fully automatic weapon. It's a semi-automatic weapon, just like the weapon that you use to go elk hunting or whatever the case may be. But many of us would say, okay, so do it. All right, I'm open to that, but you know that won't be the end for the gun control crowd. It's the slippery slope that concerns many of us, because something will be next.
Well, let's start with what we're identifying as a slippery slope. So how do you get onto that? Well, one, you don't define your terms. So when we say things like assault rifle, and then we really look at the definition, well, there is no such thing. So for me to have an AR-15, which I think stands for Armalite, that is who created that first one. And so for them to Armalite rifle, I think, was shortened to AR. And so there's no assault rifle category that I'm aware of. So if somebody has that out there, please give me that definition. Because when we say, hey, let's do this or that with this type of weapon, we have to define what that weapon is. So are we talking about a single action bolt rifle, a 300 Win Mag that I'm going to use to go deer hunting? Or are we talking about a weapon that does have a military application and a military style like the M4? Which I believe wholeheartedly our Second Amendment right is for me to own those. And I want to own those, and I want to be proficient with that weapon. But in the age issue, let's have a productive conversation. If you said, hey, 18 perhaps is too young to have a weapon of this age, okay, well, how do you define that? Are you saying that if you're below 21, we should have an additional safety course to make sure that you understand what that weapon can do and you have further qualifications? It's like a hunter safety course for a 14-year-old. Those are things we can talk about. But when we just blanketly say, hey, we're going to raise the age up to 21 for you to be able to legally purchase or possess, which it doesn't even say possess. So once again, we've left it kind of arbitrary. And that's where we get hurt. That's where our constitutional rights get amended and they get lessened and they get watered down.